Hello and welcome to Star Drop Tea,
a Stardew Valley gossip podcast.
I'm Hillary.
And I'm Shirley.
Before we started recording, you mentioned that you had prepared a few things for today's conversation. And I, number one, folks, Shirley's brain is so beautiful. We're talking like spreadsheet queen over here. You don't even understand like the level of organization that she's over here doing just for the lulz. Truly incredible.
Yeah, I am a Capricorn stellium. And I think it's just really important that everyone knows the fans, all the fans, that they know who they're dealing with. But also, I saw a meme recently that said, when the world ends, and I still spreadsheet. And I really resonated with that. I want to do a lot of other things, but I think it's, it could, if I can figure out how to spreadsheet at the end of the world, I think it would be really nice.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe like I'll get an almanac, a little journal or something. But that's beautiful. All that to say is that I'm thrilled to chat about part two of the Stardew Valley movie. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So we're going to be kind of going back over. Number one, if you haven't listened to that episode, episode six, please go and do that right now. Pause this.
This very minute.
Yeah, you shouldn't even be listening. You should be going to, you should be twisting your ankle running to listen to episode six.
Okay, did you do that? All right, well, welcome back. You can come back.
Awesome. Okay, yeah. Thank you so much for doing that. Okay, back to this. So we went pretty quickly through the first chunk of the cast.
Yeah.
And had some really fun discussion. It was like, yeah, super fun. And we talked for so long. That was the most aggressively edited down episode we have done so far. And Shirley is a real MVP because she edited it.
I really appreciate you saying that. And it was cool. I liked it a lot. There was so much phenomenal content. Something I'm super excited about is the fact that you thought I was doing a bit. And the whole time, I was just genuinely figuring out, how do I get people who make me laugh hysterically into a movie about a game that I love immensely? In the year of 2025, I'm going for big feelings.
Mm-hmm.
That's the vibe.
Absolutely.
So I'm going to cry hard. I'm going to laugh hard. Maybe I'll do more laughing than crying, but you never know. I'm gonna have big feelings, and I wanted to have a cast that just resonated with me.
More laughing than crying is such a good metric.
Yeah, I'll put that in my spreadsheet.
Yeah, was this more of a laughing or crying? Okay, actually, no, I know we have to get into this, but this is
our podcast. We can do literally whatever.
No, you're so right. You're so right. Okay, so I, as you probably know, I have a 5-year journal that I'm working through, and I have passed the halfway point on it.
What?
Yeah, I've been doing it for a hot minute.
2.5 years. And
yeah, more or less. A hot minute. One hot minute equals, wow, I've lived in America so long that I truly will use anything but the metric system now to measure. Anyways, 5-year journal. I have developed sort of like a little icon language for myself.
Oh, yeah.
That I will put a little icon next to the day that will indicate like the sentiment of the day.
Ooh.
Yeah. And if I had like a good to excellent, I will draw a little star.
Yes.
Yeah. If it was an especially bad day, I will put a black dot.
Yeah.
Relatable. I can also draw different lines to represent like fluctuations in mood over the day.
Mm, like squiggly or...
Or like trending up, trending... Yeah. It's usually not trending down. That's the good part, is that I definitely have more days that trend upwards than downwards.
Okay. I love this for you so much.
So that's mine. It's like, is it more upwards, more downwards? Yours is more laughing or more crying.
Yeah, because... I mean, to be fair, I also cry when I laugh sometimes too. If I laugh too hard.
Yeah, really sad.
Yeah. But I bought recently a physical calendar because I am all about putting it digitally on my phone, which I love. Mm. But I've also found like I've lost the tactile nature of having a physical calendar. And it's so fun to put a smiley face when I have a really great day on the calendar and write it with a pen.
Right.
I like it a lot.
So. Suddenly I'm realizing that this might help with my brain. If I'm like, oh yeah, we don't have any tactile artifacts around the passage of time anymore.
Because if my phone breaks tomorrow, I'm screwed. I want everyone to know that listens to this, if you are my friend, if my phone breaks tomorrow and I can't access my online calendar, I apologize because I will not be showing up because I don't remember that our event exists. So
factual.
If I didn't put it, so when I get home, I will put it on my physical calendar so I don't forget completely.
I'm so excited. Okay. Yeah. Literally last question and then we're getting into it. Yeah. What physical, like, is it kittens? Is it art? Is it...
Oh my gosh, I have to show it to you. It's an incredible...
Motorcycles?
There's no motorcycles.
Oh.
It's kittens, and it is just a great piece that I found this artist on TikTok that they just make really beautiful art. And then it's every season the kittens are doing something fun.
Literally,
and
kittens was my first guess.
Yeah, of course.
Awesome.
I love talking about time, and I want to... The calendar is such a fun place to start because... That's a lot of the ways that our day starts as a farmer.
Yep. So no, you're so right.
I had a question for you. So I loved the people we picked for general farmers of this movie. Also want to get into, who do you think would be the actor that would play your farmer?
Okay.
And I'm talking about, it could be you as a farmer, or it could be the little image that we have on our podcast. Your tiara.
Okay. The tiara is interesting because it's like a tiara in like a sort of blend of elvish and indie sleaze.
Mm-hmm.
So I think to play my farmer, because if it was just like to play me, it would be like Florence Pugh immediately. Like, honestly, we already have, like, the front of our head looks the same, and we both have deep little voices.
You have very similar faces.
I really appreciate her for sexy troll representation, but Sky Ferreira would be my pick to play my farmer, because that's how I imagine my farmer. Like, I don't know, like, tough, surrealist, messy, because, like, we are not bathing, folks. Like, we're not bathing. And so my, like, black eyeliner and mascara are fucking smudged to hell.
And I want to be crystal clear. We're talking about the farmer in the game, because you are bathing as a human being.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, I'm so big on bathing. I used to, a million years ago, I was a, like, skincare blogger.
Yeah.
Because I used it as a replacement behavior for some like unhealthy behaviors. So I was like, if we want to really pay attention to our skin a lot, you know what we should be doing? We should be maintaining our skin barrier. We should be looking into whatever the fuck hyaluronic acid is.
Mm.
And we need to find a cleanser that is actually going to do what I need it to do. So Sky Ferreira, I think that's how you pronounce their name.
I think so.
Anyways, whatever. Hey, email in. How do you pronounce their name? StardropTPodcast@gmail.com. I'm serious. Tell me I'm wrong. Argue with me. Let's do it. Shirley, I got a question for you.
Yes.
Who would play your farmer?
Oh my gosh. Do you watch Dropout TV?
I have seen Dropout TV. A friend of mine has shown me some Dropout TV content.
Yes. And I know I recently... had you watched the episode where it was the wrestling duo that started off the episode for VIP startup. Do you consent? Do you consent?
Oh my gosh.
Do you consent to be lifted?
That was so funny. That was crazy.
It was hysterical. So the episode before that in VIP, which is very important people, Vic Michaelis, I love. They are so funny. On the previous episode, it was Claude McCall. And they are like a parrot that is wearing this Hawaiian festive shirt.
I love this so much already.
And yes, they have an incredibly monotone voice about what they're doing. And when they're asked, oh, you know, who are you? What's your story? And they're talking about, I'm actually in a mafia family. And
wow.
They look like so happy-go-lucky, but they're actually a murderer. They do murder for hire. They launder money, all this stuff. There's a lot happening there. But anyways, the actor that plays them, the comedian, is Alex Songshaw, and they're so funny. And recently, one of our listeners sent me an email and talked about this. But after watching that episode and like having a discussion, I think that they would be so funny because I want someone who has a monotone voice that walks in to whatever's happening, especially when you walk into a house and then there's just, boom, you're in a cutscene. You were not planning for this. And I want someone to have a monotone voice be like, okay. I guess I'm here.
That's so funny.
And carry out the scene. So that would be my pick for my farmer. And also they have kind of short hair. I think that that would be the person that I would pick. And we cut off at the end. You had asked me about a couple other characters. We were rapid firing. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stop laughing about the fact that you picked a character from what we do in the shadows.
That was crazy.
So my mind was like, no longer computing, can't answer questions. So I do want to revisit just a couple people at the end.
Okay, perfect.
For us to discuss, not everybody, but I wanted to chat about who do you think Emily would be? You had said previously that it was Jesse Quigley, and I wanted to know if you're feeling like, yes, that's still your choice, or if you had any other thoughts.
Okay. No change.
Amazing.
No change. Yeah, that little freak, absolutely. Absolutely. With the blue hair?
I know that Emily is mid to potentially late 20s. So solely because of the creepy smile that she has, I actually want to revisit an actor that I picked for a previous character and select Vanessa Bayer.
Oh my god.
Just for the smile.
The
and then dye her hair blue.
The most teeth.
Yeah.
She has every tooth. She's like a shark.
I love it. And I feel, especially in the summer festival where you go to the desert and Emily starts dressing you into really weird outfits.
Just the most whack shit possible.
You're like dreadful. I'm going to trust you today. I'm going to go in here. I'm looking for like a cute top and jeans. And I want to go out. I want to have a good time. Yeah. And you come out in a clown suit. Looking absolutely disgusting. And I'm not saying anything bad about clown suits. I think clowns are amazing. But the clown suit that she is picking for me is just not it at all.
Yeah, it always looks so stupid.
I might revisit and take Vanessa on for that.
I love that so much, especially
the smile.
Yeah.
The next one that I wanted to talk about, and this is kind of, I guess we're kind of doing dateable characters, is who would you
whoa,
pick?
Whoa, speak for yourself, but go on.
They are characters you can date. Is who would you pick for Alex?
Alex. I'm trying to figure out how old he is, because he's over the hill of being the star quarterback. So I'm like, okay, 20s.
Because he's still younger than 25.
Yeah, I think so.
But he's younger. He actually might be 20 because we never see him at the saloon.
Okay.
And it's not clear if he isn't going there because of his age. But Abigail, I feel like, is young. And she goes and she doesn't drink. So I don't know. He doesn't hang out with people in the evenings, I've noticed.
Hey, interesting. Yeah, because there's got to be a certain amount of, like, darkness.
Mm-hmm. Especially with the story about his mother. And if you haven't played the game, but little we know about the story of his mother is that obviously she's dead and it wasn't an easy situation. It seems like she was sick for a while.
Okay. I have a pick. I'm struggling to find images of this actor with short enough hair, but I would say Cooper Van Grudel, who I'm going to show you a picture of right now. There's another photo that I found of him where he looks so moody. Imagine him with like tireder eyes and short hair.
Yeah, he looks like he lifts weights, which is a very important part of being Alex.
So who did you pick for Alex?
Well, you're not done explaining your scenario, so I won't tell you.
He looks great. I'm not 100% how old he is. He's under 30, though.
My actor that I'm going to be picking is over 30, but they look young.
Okay, nice. Same. Go on.
Okay, fine. I'll tell you mine. I'm thinking short hair. I also think that Alex might have like a height complex, potentially.
Oh, interesting. That's interesting. Anyways, continue.
So he is often by himself. When you meet him, he is really short and also has really weird gender theories and dynamics with the farmer.
You mean short physically or short?
He's short terse. Physically and also terse.
Okay, great.
The way that you talked about just like, oh, you're good for a girl, whatever, if that's how you pick the gender for your farmer. And for me, the kind of person that he is and the way that he talks to the farmer and also talks about other people, it could be fun as Dave Franco.
Oh, interesting.
Who is not that tall, has short hair, is really great at playing a kind of a douchebag that has some heart behind it.
Yeah. And, oh, that would be so interesting.
And Alex definitely gives that vibe for me. A douchebag with a little heart.
Yeah, absolutely.
Dave Franco could be really funny.
That's fun. Yeah.
He can play that character up really well. And then he has interesting dynamics with Haley and other people and also with his grandparents. So I feel like I want someone who has good banter. Mm. And every time that they're on the screen, I'm like, that person's kind of a jerk, but they're also funny. Somebody who is just going to bring, you know, a dynamic feel to all of the characters in this mm-hmm. movie. And I think I've said that for almost every pick. Just, they need to be dynamic. Because as a casting agent, I feel like I would be absolutely terrible. Be like, wrong, next. Not dynamic enough.
Someone has to fucking tap dance into the room.
I need more dynamite.
Yeah. Oh my.
It's going to be a no for me. Yeah.
Okay, who's next on the list?
It's Haley.
Okay. Okay, for Haley, and different hair treatment, but I'm going to say Erin Kellyman.
Okay, yeah. Explain.
I feel like she was I don't watch a lot of superhero movies anymore. However, I have seen a great many because of who I am married to.
Mm-hmm.
So she was you could consider her a villain. She was like a comic character in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, who's like a real mastermind, but she plays herself all the way down. And so it would be really, really fun to see her, like, having been in this really serious role where she plays this, like, basically two characters. I'm like, I don't know, do Haley next.
Yeah, why not? And I like when people explore something out of the norm.
Who's your pick for Haley?
Sydney Sweeney.
Oh my God.
Because
I can't believe my answer's wrong.
No, your answer's not wrong.
No.
You're going to have to doing that. There's nothing wrong with what you're doing.
I keep forgetting what our budget is.
We have an unlimited budget.
How can I be all cool and pick like the indie darlings and that are having their breakout? Get over yourself, Hillary.
Get more over yourself.
Sydney and Sweeney.
Do whatever you want. But I'm thinking Sydney Sweeney because we start off with Haley.
I'm furious.
She's okay. She's an asshole. And
yes,
she is an asshole to you. She's an asshole to her sister. She doesn't hang around anyone. She thinks she's better than everyone. And then she continues to develop. She has some interests of her own. And if you end up having like an actual relationship with her, her character has more dialogue. But I think Sydney Sweeney could play that person so well. And she has.
Yeah. Times. Yeah. She definitely has played like a whole bunch of real assholes.
She can play Haley very well.
Oh, you're so right. God damn it. Okay. That's a great pick. That's a great pick.
We have no budget.
It's so true.
I mean, this is pie in the sky. Like, you might as well pick whoever you want.
Okay. Noted. All right. Next up
is Elliot.
Oh.
This is a poet.
Yeah.
Likes to live on their own in a little shack by the beach.
Oh, in a little shack. With the crab in the pocket? That's crazy.
Cares
That's crazy.
A lot about their hair. A lot. Might care more about their hair than their poetry, potentially, in their writing. Best friends, potentially, or also exes with Leah.
Like, who has the biggest jaw? Like, who's got a fucking jawline,
and,
right?
Yeah, so for my standards, I'm looking for a big jaw.
Just the biggest jaw possible. Maximum jaw. You know who would own this? You know who would eat this up? Daniel Radcliffe.
Ooh.
Daniel Radcliffe as Elliot.
I see it.
Number one.
But I also...
Beautiful hair. Number two. That motherfucker is crazy.
Daniel Radcliffe as Harvey.
Oh, shit.
The glasses.
The glasses. That's stereotyping.
But also he wears glasses.
Yeah, no, he can wear the fuck out of glasses.
He looks really good with
glasses.
Yeah,
he looks incredible. Yeah, you're so right. And he can do a weird mustache really well.
Yeah, awesome. My requirements for the male actors are very low. Like, do you have a large jaw? Can you wear glasses?
What's your facial hair situation?
Okay, now speak. But yeah.
Okay, incredible. And then, like, way later on the list, how tall are you?
Yeah, wait. Do you like planes?
You're like 6'5".
Yeah. I did really love Dave Patel. You had chose that as your Harvey.
Yeah.
But, okay. I like that. I was thinking Austin Butler, who has been... I think Austin Butler would be a really funny...
Oh, shit. That would be so funny.
Elliot. He also can make have that voice that, again, we don't know what any of them sound like. But I feel like Elliot has a deep voice, very full of himself, obviously, constantly talking about his hair, as is Alex. And Austin has a great jaw, which I know is a requirement for this position. I also really enjoy his hair. He's got good hair.
Yeah, he has good hair for sure.
And he can grow that.
Oh, absolutely.
He can grow
that out. He's got, like, yeah, when he was in, what was that Archie show? Riverdale? Gorgeous hair. Really emotively, a lock of it falling into his face.
And the hair has to definitely have like emotion behind it because...
Oh, yeah.
I also, what I like about that pick is that it is like some of the stuff he has done, but he can put his own spin on it. You can make Elliot a douchebag. You can also make Elliot someone who's just trying to figure stuff out. The fact that he has a close relationship with Leah tells me that there's more going on there than if he wasn't having an actual friendship. Because Shane really doesn't have a friendship with anyone that I can think of. Mm. He's mostly off with himself and not talking to other people. Mm. Sebastian has a good friendship with Sam. With Abigail. Maru is mostly by herself, sometimes next to Penny. I want them to be able to connect.
You are killing this. Hey, speaking of Shane, I want to go back actually on my pick. I picked Joaquin Phoenix. He's way too old. Gavin Leatherwood, who was from The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So hot. Crazy hot. And the hair. And like the hair and the brooding. That would be beautiful.
Yeah. That's hysterical because I was picking different shows of cast members.
Yeah.
So obviously it was What We Do in the Shadows. Clearly, I still have some people there. Yeah. Sabrina, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina was another one. I also picked that the Booksmart cast and the Sweethearts cast, which has some people from like other movies as well.
Yeah.
So I love that. I'm not changing my Shane. It's Jake Johnson through and through. I don't care how old Shane is.
Sure.
It's Jake Johnson.
That's fair. Folks, write in. Who would you cast? You can do the whole set like we're attempting to do, or you can just tell us.
Just one character is fine.
You do whatever you want. We would love it if you did.
Yeah.
StardropTPodcast@gmail.com.
Yes. Just pick any character that you love and write us in and let us know.
Please.
The next person up is Elliot's bestie, Leah. Who do you think would be a great Leah? In my mind, I feel like she's kind of soft-spoken. She seems a little bit unsure of herself, so that's where that's coming from. And we know that through also her journey of becoming an artist. In a previous episode that we talked, she had that bad relationship with Kells, and she is definitely much more confident in herself as we progress in our friendship / relationship. But I need someone who doesn't immediately come off as completely confident. I want someone who can play someone who maybe doesn't have that and can grow into that.
My previous pick, Aaron Kellman, the red-haired new Marvel actor. I think she would be a good Leah because... That, absolutely not. Like, now that I understand that we can hire Sydney Sweeney for this. And, like, listen, I don't even like her.
No.
I don't even like her.
I just say that.
Like, unfortunately, I think she'd be perfect for that.
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
I said that we were hiring Jennifer Coolidge, so that should tell you we have nobody. Do whatever we want.
You're right.
I agree with you. I think that Leah could be great as Amy Adams, potentially.
I don't know. I think she's too old.
She might be, but she also is young, but so maybe Amy is Robin. Okay, I'll take it back.
Oh, yeah. Maybe Amy is Robin.
I think Amy could be Robin. Oh, my gosh. You know what? I take my take back. And I take it back and I take back, uh-huh. sees back.
Wind it back.
Oh, I'm going to wind that back. Robin is Amy Adams, who is a phenomenal actress. I have loved her in almost every movie she's been in. And she's been a lot of different characters. She was in the movie about Julie and Julia. Which
yes, insane.
Which I love that one.
Yeah. And oh yeah. She was suffering in that.
Trying really hard to go through that cookbook and also imploding her life. And then she's also in the movie Arrivals.
Oh, that's one of the best movies ever.
So much. She does a phenomenal job that she's phasing in and out of the future. And who the hell knows what Robin's up to sometimes? She could be phasing in and out of the woodwork. She's doing a lot, and she's got a good work ethic. Like, whatever character she works, I feel like she has good work ethic. But then, this is unrelated to Robin. Have you seen the movie Leap Year?
Oh, what's
it? It's a romantic comedy that Amy Adams is in. And I don't know if I have. I think it's a wonderful job. I love a good rom-com. And it's a quality one, for sure.
So you don't think your previous pick, of course, was Jessica Chastain.
Who, I still love her. I'm going to take her off the table and I'm going to put Amy Adams as Robin.
Okay. And that's a really good pick.
For Leah, I have none right now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to say Aaron Kellman for Leah. Final answer.
Locked in. Okay. The last dateable character is Sam.
Absolutely. He's such a little bimbo.
He's a little skater boy.
Yeah, exactly. So I definitely think that we got to get a real babe in this role. And that babe is James Morosini. He is jawline. He is jawline. And I just love, look at that. Like,
that's a jaw.
That's a jaw. Look at the hair. Mm-hmm. Look at the 90s skater of it all. There's like, this is looking like frosted tips. Yeah, look at him.
I see it.
What a cutie. There's him in Patton Oswalt. Come on. Look at that. Imagine him with blonde hair. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What do you got?
I am thinking from the cast of Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
Ooh.
Ross Lynch, who plays Harvey Kinkle.
Yes.
Also.
Yes.
He loves to skate too, the actual actor himself. So I think he would play a great Sam. Not that Sam only skates, but he's got the skater boy vibe. Mm-hmm. The spiky hair would look great on Ross. And I feel like he could do a fun job of just explaining why he's so immature. And it's due to the dynamics of his family's relationship and the fact that he hasn't really been parented. I think his mom has just been a little bit overwhelmed. Yeah. So he's been having to fend for himself for a while. He's got a great relationship with Sebastian, but he's just figuring out life. He's also young and feels invincible sometimes. And mm-hmm. Ross does a great job of representing that as an actor.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. I'm crying.
That's my pick for those characters.
Okay. So that is all the dateable characters that we have gone through. We've done all the dateable characters so far. We've done all the dateable characters. That's Dean Shirley.
I haven't done anything.
Okay, sure. So we've casted all the dateable characters, and we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and focus on the main villagers, the ones that you can give gifts to and build a friendship with.
Yay, I love
that. All right, welcome back, everybody. So let's get into it. We're going to run through the rest of the main villagers who are giftable or friendable. And then I've got a couple other ones. But gosh, there are so many characters in this game, actually.
There really are.
Wow.
Yeah.
But then we got to wrap it up. And then maybe we'll come back to it later. Who knows? One day. Anything could happen.
Time isn't real. But
I'm looking at our episode plan list. And first up on the character list is the dwarf. You had, on my documentation, skipped this pick.
I did, yeah.
Okay.
I think this could be CGI and a voice character. It's mostly just doing me, 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 me.
Okay. That's insulting, but sure. So my pick, there was no other choice that I could have possibly had for strange little creature in a fictional world other than Alan Tudyk. And I'm choosing Alan Tudyk because he has such a rich history. He was the chicken in Moana. Like, that's what this guy is bringing. And by that, I mean he's bringing it all.
And that chicken did a lot for that movie.
It did everything. And like, he, number one, he's so handsome. And that's not even what he makes it about. He is out here doing voice acting. So that is my pick for the dwarf, because if we're going to get a consummate professional voice actor on this thing, it's going to be Alan Tudyk.
Nice. I think that's a phenomenal choice. Okay. I still don't have anyone, though.
That's okay. Who did you pick for Evelyn?
For Evelyn, I was thinking it could be between two. One of the people that I picked is dead.
Okay, but that's fine. That's fine. We have the budget.
We have the budget. We have the budget.
It happens.
So for, like, no, what is it called when they do the people?
The billing.
No.
Like higher billing, lower billing?
No, the people, and they do it through, like, a projector.
Movies? Are you talking about movies?
Hologram.
That sucked. You looked me right in the eye and then, like, mouthed the word as you said it.
Hologram. Okay.
What?
Anyways, if Evelyn was a hologram.
That would be even sadder than it already is. Yeah, totally.
I feel like she could have been Betty White. Because she's making me cookies, she's being sweet. I think that she would do a phenomenal job at that. And then someone who I think could be great, because I also like how she talks back to George, could be Jane Fonda.
Okay, interesting. You went for some older picks.
Yes, Evelyn is a grandma and she's quite old. I think she's probably in her 70s or 80s.
Interesting. Okay, so I didn't think that way at all. I was set on Frances McDormand for this role, who is 67.
That's older.
And older for sure, and capable of being a grandmother, but fundamentally, like, still young enough to this sucks. Like, I feel like she is made to be older because of how, like, of George's attitude.
Mm-hmm.
That he's just like, life is over, we're just here now. And she's like, I'm 67.
Exactly.
Like, it's not over.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of things that you can do. Like, yeah, you have a disability now. Like that's going to affect a couple things, but you can still get out there.
Yeah.
And you should.
And in my dream world for this movie, some of the characters expand beyond, like, the limits of what has been created for them. And I want Evelyn to have more of a life and realize that she can do more things and have more activities. Jane Fonda, I feel like, does a really great job of living her life.
Ugh, so does she ever.
She could really, like, bring that to the character. Well, I'm interested to know, who do you think George would be? His face looks like it's definitely supposed to be a certain actor.
So I decided to pick a actor who has been in a ton of horror movies, because I just went full fucking trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Moseley.
Okay.
He was in The Devil's Reject, House of a Thousand Corpses, Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, Texas Chainsaw 3D, and there's, like, other, like, Repo the Genetic Opera, like, really, really crazy shit. And I think it would just be so fun to put a horror actor in there.
He's seen some stuff, so.
That's it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, let's go.
Let's go.
Let's go. Bill Moseley.
I like that. I was thinking someone who has a resting grumpy face is really important for me to play this role.
Yeah.
And Harrison Ford came to mind. I've really enjoyed his character that he's been playing in the show Shrinking, which has that resting frown face. But in general, he's also seen some things. Like, if you think about who George is, who clearly was in a coal mining accident, but potentially also could have seen some of the wars that were happening earlier.
Seen the reality of coal mining.
Yeah, and Harrison Ford would bring that experience from everything he's been through.
Now I'm just thinking of Frances McDormand opposite Harrison Ford. And that would be so fun.
I love that.
Okay, great job. For Gus, the man carrying the community on his back, my pick, because I was like, this man, like, he needs to have like a nurturing vibe. He is literally feeding everyone. So for Gus, I picked Pankaj Tripathi. I may not be pronouncing that 100% correctly, but surely I have put a link in there. He predominantly works in Hindi films, but I would love to see him be part of this project because he, like, his face, if you will go to his Wikipedia page, I am looking at the photo on his Wikipedia page, and I really feel that everything is going to be all right.
Especially when we know that the government isn't caring about us. Potentially, some people are collecting data, but not letting us know what the green rain is. Mm-hmm. And then there's this one person that's like, I need 12 eggs to make a really large omelet, and also comes to the saloon, and I will protect you.
Absolutely.
And he has his priorities in order.
And he has, like, messaging worked out. Yeah. So I was just like, who would represent a, like, pillar of the community?
If during this time period we all had, like, beepers or something, I feel like
Should we bring beepers back? Should millennials revive the beeper?
Well, a lot of people are going to flip phones and getting rid of their smartphones. And I feel like
makes sense to go all the way back.
Exactly. Why don't we go to beepers and then just say, like, come over at this time, meet me here. Yeah, I would like for less people to know where I am.
For sure.
So why don't we bring back landlines?
No, because then they know exactly where you are.
Yeah, no, but I think a beeper would be great.
Attached to the landline.
I am thinking for Gus, mm-hmm. someone whose last name is very close to Gus, so maybe that's why he's called Gus, is Luis Guzman, who is Gomez Adams. And I think that he would be incredible, definitely keeps our family together and is very loving towards his children and towards his wife. And I think Gus is really loving towards the community. I also imagine Gus as being Hispanic. So I think that that would be great.
Yeah.
So I would love that. For Jody, which I know that you did a rapid fire, I was thinking Emma Stone. There's something about the mouth of the little character that I see.
Interesting.
Then she could be quirky, and so I think that could be fun. And then what do you think about Jody's husband, Kent?
Okay, but what about my pick for Jody?
Well, you already gave me two picks.
No, I'm going to give you another one.
Okay, great.
Kelly MacDonald.
Kelly MacDonald.
Yeah, she was in No Country for Old Men. Mm-hmm. Folks, Kelly MacDonald, she is acting with her face, and she is suffering. And this Jody needs to be suffering at all times.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm doing the dishes. I'm suffering. Someone brought me a fish because I requested it. I'm suffering. I asked for a cauliflower. I'm suffering. I'm like, okay, like, make up your mind. And a lot of the cause of her suffering is her husband. And where is her husband? What happened to her husband? Why is my husband not here to take care of the kids while I also have to go to work? Who is causing that suffering for your Jody?
Who is causing that suffering for my Jody?
I'm just kidding.
Channing Tatum.
Ooh, Tatum. I see it. The spiky hair. Yeah.
But I need him to be acting all the way serious in this. I also need him to be suffering. I need him to have clear CPTSD.
Yeah. And this is like...
And substance abuse issues.
Post the dancing movies. He can't dance anymore. He's really hurt about it. And
yeah, like chronic debilitating back pain. Like shoots down his leg.
Yeah.
Just like,
damn. Yeah. Damn.
Well, he's suffering.
I mean, he is suffering. But also, I think it's important to honor whoever does the role of Kent. Like, yes, he does cause a lot of suffering to his wife, mainly because they don't talk to each other. But I did read a beautiful letter before he came back where he told her, like, how sorry he was and he understands that things are tough. So I think that there's potential for him to recover.
Okay.
Beautiful. So for that, my pick for Kent is Will Poulter. He is in The Maze Runner. He was also in Skins, Chronicles of Narnia, and recently he was in The Bear. And I feel like he can do a really great job of playing someone who's broody and very moody as well.
That's interesting. So you're going younger.
I think, well, Kent could be in his mid to late 30s.
Well, Will Poulter is 32.
Yeah. And with a beard or the angle, he could look older.
Yeah, that's true. Age him up. That's fair. Oh, cool. He's in Death the Unicorn. All right.
More rapid fire. Lewis. That guy.
Walton Goggins.
Okay.
Because if he's going to be a fuckboy, if he's going to be an old man fuckboy, let's fucking go.
I see it.
Let's go. Him? Lewis? Mm-hmm. He's a little slut.
There, I love said that. It. Yeah. Yeah. And I also think he's got, you know, other ethical morals with his business practices. And
certainly
he can be kind of funny, but most of the time I definitely dislike him.
Yeah, running, not walking away from him. Okay, yes, Shirley. Who would you pick for Mayor Lewis?
Fred Armisen.
That's so funny. That's so funny.
I think he can do a really great job of playing the mayor, being serious, but also saying some off-the-cuff, hysterical quip about the town folk. Especially, I mean, as a reminder to everyone, the mayor tells me I'm finally part of the community after I get married.
Yeah.
No matter what year that happens. Yeah, he could do a really good job.
Oh, wow. That. His eyeballs alone.
Incredible. And we really need someone who can act with their eyeballs for big this. Time. Linus.
Elijah Wood.
Oh, and then
I'm serious.
And then you're telling me that I'm picking someone young with Will Poulter, but for Linus, Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood is 44.
He looks like a baby.
He is a grown man. No. Elijah Wood, and I want him aged up a little, but also, like, people get white hair and gray hair at pretty young ages, and, like, longer hair and big beard on a guy with, like, little age up. Elijah Wood, 44 years old.
Okay, I see it.
5'6". He's 5'6", folks.
That's a great height.
Yeah, it's a perfect height. All right.
I picked Rhys Darby, who plays Steed Bonnet in Our Flag Means Death. He's also the manager in Flight of the Conchords.
Yes.
And he's been in a bunch of other stuff, but I think he'd be hysterical as Linus.
He would do a great job. Okay, Rhys Darby, that's hysterical. Marnie.
And this is our last one for our characters that we can befriend. So I'm going to end with Melanie Linsky.
Get the fuck out of here.
Did you pick the same person?
I picked Melanie Linsky.
Oh my god, what?
I picked Melanie Linsky. Look. That's... Look.
Look. Look.
We did it. We did it, folks.
This is the first one. I was wondering if we would pick anyone. That's incredible.
That's crazy.
I love that. And for everyone at home or wherever you are, we are looking at separate sheets. We have kept each other out of the loop of who we're picking. That's amazing. Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah.
It's Melanie. It's Melanie for sure.
That's who must play Marnie. Melanie Linsky. Okay.
That is wild out of every actress. I want to know, why did you pick Melanie?
Because I think Marnie is low-key a bombshell.
Oh, yeah.
She just... High-key. I don't know. From my perspective, low-key. But yeah, truly is not giving anything a single thought, and low-key bombshell. She is truly somebody that if she took her glasses off and took her hair down, proverbially, awuga.
For me, Melanie has had an incredible career. All of her characters have been really different from each other, but also have had a thorough line of who she is as an actor. And I loved her in The Last of Us. She was dead serious. You meet her, you kind of want to understand why she's doing what she's doing, but then you find that she is this vigilante. She's taking matters into her own hand, and she's going after it. She's also in this show that was very short-lived on HBO called Togetherness, which was really interesting. She's trying to figure out life in her marriage and out of her marriage, and also her own self-worth and value, and that's a lot of what's happening for Marnie. And then also I felt like they looked like each other. A little bit.
I obviously felt the same.
And so that was...
Sorry, are we not going to talk about Yellow Jackets?
I have never seen Yellow Jackets, so I can't talk to you about it. Yeah.
Okay, folks, sorry. This is the end of the episode. We gotta shut this shit down. Because, okay, we've got to watch Yellow Jackets because I was watching it, but the person who I was watching it with started having nightmares. Oh. So I could not proceed because I am no good at watching TV and it just wasn't going to happen.
It wasn't.
If it was just me.
No, it's a lot of show. Before we end though,
yeah.
I have a hilarious pick for Morris and Mr. Q.
Sorry, Mr. Who?
Mr. Q? Mr. T?
Are you
Mr.
Sir?
Key?
Are you sure?
Or Mr. Kui.
Kui?
Absolutely. Yes.
Get the fuck out of here. I have a pick for Birdie and a pick for Gunther.
Okay. Why don't you go first? Because I'd like to end with my picks because I have this fan theory.
Okay, amazing. Okay. Birdie, who is the castaway woman on Ginger Island, Juliet Lewis.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Juliet Lewis. I need her dried out and dehydrated. I need her. I need her completely suntanned, leathered up,
with stars in her hair.
Those are starfish.
Yeah. Well, those are stars. Starfish. Yep,
absolutely.
So, and then your other one.
Yep. The other one was going to be Gunther, right?
Mm-hmm.
Adam Driver.
I can definitely see that.
Adam Driver. That goatee. That mustache.
That sass. Yeah.
The attitude, the dressing.
Yeah.
The passion.
I love that.
Adam Driver.
And for the final picks of the evening, Morris and Mr. Q for me, Mr. Q. Might be the same person in my mind because of the tiny glasses. They're never seen in the same place. They kind of have the same nose and smile in their images. You can kind of see it. And who better to play someone who acts as multiple characters in a lot of the shows that they are part of than Nick Kroll, who I feel like has the voice to match whatever chaos these two are bringing, which is a lot of chaos.
This is fantastic. Wow.
Do you agree, yes or no?
Hard yes.
Okay, thank you.
Hard yes. Nick Kroll, again, expressive, eyebrows, jawline, and range.
Into vendettas. Uh-huh. And will also try to one-up their opponent. And almost every character that he plays, he does something like that too. So I think that would be great for, especially Morris.
Oh, either so, one. Rich and
very
story.
A lot of scheming happening. So that would be phenomenal.
That's very interesting.
I am thrilled. I can't wait for this movie to happen. Whenever it happens, please call us. We clearly have it completely figured out.
Please.
And we also have recasts. Everybody we've already talked about while we were in our short break. So
we've.
If you need a list of 100 plus people, we've got it.
Beep me.
Beep me.
Beep us.
No, don't. Nobody call it me. I won't answer.
Thank you for listening. And if you have some Stardrop tea to share with us, email stardropteapodcast@gmail.com.
Follow to get all of our upcoming episodes as soon as they land and rate this episode 5 Stardrops.
Our cover art is by Brianne Burnell and our theme music is by Eggward. Links to both their work are in show notes.
Make sure to take good care of yourself and your community. Bye.
Bye.